Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. The long-awaited, much-debated journey by Secretary of State Shultz to Moscow is underway. He left Washington this morning with the Sex for Secrets embassy spy and bugging scandal casting a cloud over the prospects for progress at the first top-ranked superpower talk since last November. Bill McLaughlin is traveling with the secretary, who hopes to make major progress on reaching an intermediate-range missiles agreement.
The essential outlines of the agreement would involve the total elimination of the missiles based in both Eastern and Western Europe, with 100 based in the U.S., perhaps probably in Alaska, and 100 based in the Soviet Union in Central Asia. But there are three major sticking points. One is verification, the U.S. wanting to know how it can make sure that the Soviet Union is actually living up to the accord. Another is the problem of shorter-range missiles in Europe, which both the President and Mr. Gorbachev addressed yesterday. The United States has none. The Soviet Union has 130. How do you solve that problem? And then there's the problem of the Strategic Defense Initiative and de-linking it from any arms control treaty. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, with the Secretary of State.
President Reagan will be keeping tabs on Shultz's meetings from his California ranch.
This is Jacqueline Adams with the President in Los Angeles. President Reagan this morning will deliver his weekly radio address and attend a luncheon with members of the Ronald Reagan Library Foundation. Then it's off to his mountaintop ranch for a 9-day vacation. The President hopes to ride his horses, clear brush, and chop wood. But he's going to be focusing on East-West relations as well, since Secretary of State Shultz plans to be in Moscow talking with Soviet officials at the beginning of next week. In a speech before the World Affairs Council yesterday, the President set the stage for the Secretary of State's talks. Relations with the Soviets, he said, are proceeding. No great cause for excitement, no great cause for alarm. Though espionage charges and countercharges have been flying in a U.S.-Soviet public relations war of late, Mr. Reagan called the Soviet infiltration of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow inexcusable, but no surprise, considering the Soviets' ideology and intentions. The litmus test of the relationship, he said, will be the Kremlin's behavior in Central America. And the first item on the agenda Mr. Reagan gave to his Secretary of State calls for the speedy Soviet withdrawal from Afghanistan. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, with the President in Los Angeles.
Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev has been making new arms control proposals even while getting ready to head home from his politically sensitive trip to Czechoslovakia.
The high point of his visit was the speech last night in the huge Palace of Culture. Gorbachev ranged over the entire field of Soviet policy, from his reforms of the communist system to arms control. In a new initiative, he proposed immediate talks with the U.S. on banning from Europe all short-range nuclear missiles. Gorbachev will discuss the arms negotiations with Secretary Shultz in Moscow next week. He hopes this Soviet concession will speed up agreement on the bigger issue of banning medium-range missiles from the continent. On his reforms of the communist system, Gorbachev seems to have had difficulty persuading Czechoslovakia's aging leaders to adopt more open and less repressive ways of governing. In what sounded like an admission of failure, he said in his speech he wouldn't force them to follow the Soviet model. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Prague.
Confrontation turns to sanctions next week as the U.S., angry over alleged Japanese dumping of computer chips on the American market, imposes $300 million worth of new trade restrictions on Japanese electronics imports.
Japanese officials expressed regret, but not surprise at the American decision. For the last week, it's been increasingly clear from public statements and private comments by Japan's leaders that thinking has already moved on to the next phase, how to get the sanctions lifted quickly. One method proposed by the nation's trade ministry, file suit before the trading organization in Switzerland that oversees trade and tariffs. Another, continue negotiating with the Americans, or retaliate against American goods imported here. Few want to go that far just yet. The trump card now is Prime Minister Nakasone's visit to Washington at the end of this month. He will get what Japanese negotiators didn't, a face-to-face meeting with President Reagan, a chance to see if a personal talk can soothe this deepening family feud. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Tokyo.
The white minority government of South Africa has pulled the noose of restrictions around its state of emergency decree a little tighter.
In the 10 months of South Africa's state of emergency, the government has detained an estimated 30,000 people, banned political and labor meetings, and prevented media coverage of the ongoing violence in black townships, which has claimed more than 2,000 lives. Now it has put a stop to the right of people to protest detention without trial. A special police decree makes it illegal to campaign for the release of any of the estimated 8,000 people still being held under emergency or internal security laws. It is also an offense to write or ask the government to release these prisoners. Nobody is allowed to sign a petition or wear clothing or badges with slogans protesting or even disapproving of detention. An organization which agitates for the freedom of political prisoners, the Detainees Parents Support Committee, says the new clamps will hamper its campaign to free about 2,000 children who are being held under the emergency. But the committee says it will continue to highlight the plight of political prisoners and provide medical and legal aid to the thousands who are being denied their basic rights. Peter Honey for CBS News, Johannesburg.
This is the last full day of Pope John Paul II's wearying week-long trip to South America. As we hear from Bert Quint, the journey has been demanding in more ways than one.
This papal pilgrimage has brought forth political anger as well as religious fervor. In Chile, the Pope encouraged a local church that is close to the people to continue leading peaceful opposition to a dictatorship. But the violent demonstrations by foes of the regime to attract the pontiff's attention and that of the world press could lead the dictator to taking more repressive measures to maintain control. In Argentina, John Paul has encouraged a conservative church that was too friendly with the old military leaders and is not cooperative enough with the new elected ones to strengthen its relations with the state and with the people. But he also felt obliged to express his opposition to the Argentine Congress's plan to legalize divorce here. Many felt that the Pope was meddling in Argentina's political affairs by raising the subject now. But for millions, there's joy that the pontiff is here and pride that he's staying long enough to celebrate Palm Sunday Mass in Argentina. Bert Quinn, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
At some poultry processing plants, a case of the chickens coming home to roost. Stuart Doan of CBS Radio's Little Rock affiliate, KARN, explains.
The Agriculture Department said it's placing stricter inspection standards on four poultry plants owned by Simmons Industries after an investigation concluded the company has a history of poor compliance with federal inspection requirements. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service Administrator, Donald Houston.
There will be closer scrutiny of these plants during this period and more intense supervision and more intense activity by the inspectors assigned there.
One of the four plants was featured in a report on the CBS television program 60 Minutes on alleged shortcomings in government poultry inspection services. A spokesman for Simmons Industries said officials will cooperate with federal investigators, but stated the company is not aware of any wrongdoing. Stuart Doan for CBS News, Little Rock.
Time on the roundup, 10 past 7.